Rick, my boy James.
All right. I'd like to call to order this regular board meeting of Fire District, Snohomish Regional Fire and Rescue. June 25th, 2020, we will start with the flag salute. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a quorum. There will be a executive session, and that, did we schedule Mitch at a certain time?
Mitch is on dialed in now.
Oh, he's dialed in?
Mitch is present, okay.
So do we want to do him at the beginning and, or hold him off till the end?
We could ask Mitch if he wanted to leave and then come back.
Or he can sit and listen, either one.
Listen, whatever works, Commissioner.
Yeah, I hate to make these people wait if they can. So we'll move right along.
Probably easier.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's probably easier if I just sit, so.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you.
The chief's report.
Got it.
I assume was just sent out, I didn't get a chance to look at it. So, do you want to go over anything, chief?
You betcha. First of all, I want to honor some future retirements. We have District 7 honors the service of three dedicated team members who have announced their retirements. Driver operator paramedic Kurt Schneider, he'll retire officially on July 1st, 2020. And then Lieutenant Paramedic Jeff Chittenden will retire on July 1st, 2020. Battalion Chief Bill Wirtz will retire on May 1st, 2021. Hearty congratulations to all three future retirees. Also want to congratulate Paramedic Matt James, who's been promoted to Driver Operator. COVID-19, moving forward, not a whole bunch of changes from the last report. I want to thank the Infectious Control Task Force for staying on top of things with the Safety Committee. We've resumed multi-company training with the blessing of the ICTF. Today, I want to thank the Training Division, Michael, at the helm, for leading the live fire training in Gold Bar. And it was mainly focused on part-time firefighters. We had our cadre of our instructors up there taking care of business.
Yes.
Thank you. Now, anything you want to report on it up there?
So we were able to run 2 days of live fire in Gold Bar, and great partnership working with them. You know, sometimes it doesn't take a lot, but with that facility, we're able to offer some pretty fabulous training. So to be able to offer that for the part-time firefighters, but also instructor development. So a lot of succession planning happening in the midst of that, and we want to thank the department for the investment in giving us the tools necessary to be able to put on some great, realistic live fire training.
And then this was mentioned in the last report. We've got the Snohomish County Isolation and Quarantine Site has been relocated to the Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Monroe. Commissioner Fay, any news on that?
He's on.
No, they did the physical move. We finished it today. So they're doing all the setups, and the medical staff is arrived to get it organized. I don't think they have any patients.
Yeah. Somebody got a mic on, a speaker on in here?
Somebody has a microphone on somewhere. I think they caught it. Entry-level career firefighter. Following an extensive testing and interview process, an eligibility list has been established for entry-level firefighter, and we plan on replacing 8 career firefighters. However, 6 candidates successfully passed the chief's interview that was administered June 15th through 17th. The anticipated hire date is July 15th. Background checks and other items are underway. Let's see, 77 and 13, we're still kind of in a holding pattern, just having discussions with South County Fire. Bothell Fire Department has reached out to us. They need to shut down Station 45 to rebuild, and they've asked us for possible assistance. We're in very preliminary discussions on what that might mean. But we said, you know, we'll see what we can do to help, collaborate. I want to thank the Chief Silva and his logistics team. They've been really doing a great job of, and you'll see tonight, we've got some surplus items, been working hard to surplus, and also creating a logistics division, or a logistics center located at Station 7-4. So there's a lot of equipment and supplies being stored there now, and so they are working on a security plan to make sure to keep things safe there and limit the risk of theft and maintain fiscal responsibility. So thanks, Chief Silva and your team. On Monday, June 22nd, the Snohomish County Council officially approved the district's name change from Snohomish County Fire District 7 to Snohomish Regional Fire and Rescue. According to our plan, the district's plan, we'll have a slow rollout of the name change and an official go-live date of January 1, 2021. And I think I have one more item. This week, it was a good joint presentation of the discussion with the county council about the fireworks ordinance, which actually officially goes into effect January 1, 2021. And it's a fireworks discharge ban in the unincorporated areas that are also urban growth areas in Snohomish County. So we were there presenting with South County and actually Bothell. So everybody's been working hard, doing well through COVID-19. Appreciate everybody's hard work. And that's my report, Commissioners.
Thank you, Chief.
Roy, can we pause for just a minute? I had to reboot Blue Jeans real quick. It froze up.
Let the minutes know we paused because we don't have a quorum.
I see you trying to call me, Bill. We're back.
Yeah, we...
Happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday.
He doesn't look that much older.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Yeah, we lost the audio to you guys.
Yep, we're back though.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on. I would ask approval of benefit voucher 20-1578 through 20-1585. In the amount of $566,663.09, and AP vouchers 20-1586 through 20-1692 in the amount of $222,379.56, and the June 15th payroll approval of $985,455.41, along with minute approval for the regular meeting on June 11th and the special board meeting on June 17th. Do I have a motion?
I will make that motion.
So moved.
Moved and seconded.
Jim.
Jeff was made the motion.
Any discussion or questions? None heard. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye, Jim.
That sounds like a unanimous approval. One note on page 31 under correspondence. We received a letter from Mayor Franklin from Everett to discuss a partnership related to a regional fire authority. Please review that and we can discuss that at the next meeting. Moving on to old business, the chief discussed COVID-19 update, Snow 911 tower agreement on page 37 is under review currently by the lawyer, and we will address that at the next meeting, at least for station 71. 83 will be a separate contract. Allied Construction, anything, chief?
Yeah, Steve has some news.
We actually received notification from LNI that Allied has satisfied all the requirements of the prevailing wage review, and we're in the process now of looking into what we need to do to release the retainage. I haven't even told Mitch yet, but I guess I just did, so.
Thank you.
So we're about done with it.
Very good.
Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm. We know about the fire district name, strategic planning.
You bet, commissioners. We've had our had a one meeting, and actually at the meeting we kind of recognized that we needed to invite or recruit some more line firefighters. So we met with our facilitator, kind of retooled our plan, and so we're going to go out and try and get some more representation from line firefighters and continue the planning process. And so good to have Chief Dorsey's leadership on this. Appreciate it. And we'll be moving forward. And then I also, I sent an email to Commissioner Steinruck. I wanted to make sure, I think he's on the committee, and then any other commissioners from the Strategic Planning Committee, I wanted to check in and make sure that you receive invites or, and this is the, again, this is the strategic planning build team, kind of the roll up your sleeves and work out the planning details. This team will actually present to the board strategic planning team at a later date and the whole board itself.
And for Randy Woolery, is he on there? Mm-hmm. He's listening, I think. We will be updating the list of commissioner committee reports, and we will link with that. The chief's going to handle it. The staff person who's responsible for scheduling that and the dates of the next meeting will be in each one of the board packets moving forward, so there's no confusion. Is that okay, Randy?
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
Okay. Moving on, note on page 39, resolution 2020-16, surplus nozzle equipment and apparatus. That's for review, and we'll address that at the next meeting. The audit conference, exit.
Yep, I'll let Leah handle that.
Yes, Commissioner, thank you. So at a previous commissioner meeting, we had provided an update that the auditors had completed their 2017 and 18 financial audit and accountability audit for Lake Stevens Fire. And after they concluded, they also gave us the option to complete the 2019 financial audit to help with timelines and reduce costs, and the board did approve that option. So technically, this 2019 financial audit is a new audit, so the auditors are required to offer an entrance conference to the board. However, the auditor, they did note that because we just had an entrance conference last year, we do not need to have one this year. It is okay to waive it. They would just need an email or a signed letter from the board chair saying that they don't want the entrance conference. So this is just informational, and then should the board like to make a motion on that at the next meeting if they'd like, we're more than happy to take care of that.
So waived. I checked with Troy. Moving on with the policies and procedures, Chief Messer, was he gonna?
Yes.
He's off.
He's on.
Oh, cool. Chief Messer, well, so before we get going, a little introduction. So as we've come together as Lake Stevens and District 7, we have groups of policies. We kind of talked about this before, but now we're District 7. And so since the bylaw district, what's that?
We're not District 7.
Oh yeah, so I'm sorry. Snohomish Regional Fire and Rescue. And so, you know, by law, the policies that we use are Snohomish Regional Fire and Rescue's policies. But we know, what we found out is there are policies with our district that need to be updated. There were also some policies in Lake Stevens that needed to be updated, but there are also some very good policies there as well to bring into place. And so our combined cultures, we're trying to bring them together, and we're trying to bring the policies together in general. So how to do that? What we've done is we've sought some help from a very smart person in policy management, and that's Chief Messer. Chief Messer's worked extensively with policies and procedures, and he's going to be leading our policy committee. He's going to put a policy committee together and to bring us together, to bring all the policies together, so we can have one group of policies and one vision moving forward. So, Chief Messer, would you mind elaborating?
Yeah, sure thing. First off, can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Cool deal. So, yes. Thank you, Chief, and good evening, Commissioners. What I'm going to do real quick is to share my screen. So y'all can see some theme footage I put together for you guys.
I'll start out here and I'm okay.
All right, so I got a document up, and this is a proposal that I want to pitch to Board of Commissioners. We're going to pitch it to senior and executive staff, right now everybody from SS on board. So, first off, when we look at policies and procedures, just my background, previous agency, when I got promoted to officer, my job was to become the SOG Standard Operating Guideline Committee Chair and put together a process, and this process was formed out of strategic recommendation from our peer assessment team from the Commission on Fire Accreditation International from a 2011 accreditation push that we had. Bottom line, we did not have a good process in place for reviewing, creating, developing, and implementing policies. And where we were at the time was having policies that were signed off in the early 90s, late 90s, and in a lot of cases were no longer valid. So when I look at our new district and what we formed, I tried to put together a couple of ideas of what would work for us moving forward. So first off, as far as an overview for policy and procedure management, we need to put together something that is contemporary for the creation, review, adoption, and implementation of district policies and procedures. And then for that program, whatever we decide on whatever path to be successful, we need to make sure that new program is scalable so it can grow with us. Allow instant access to policies and procedures, be transparent in its process, and then constantly remain current. Especially with the times we're in now, COVID-19 has definitely proven to us that information can change daily. So whatever we put in place has to have the ability to remain current. So with that, the proposal that I'd like for you gentlemen to consider is, first off, Lexapol as a content platform. So Lexapol would be for the creation of district policy and procedure. With that, Lexapol as a program, as a corporation, does provide pre-written content that, one, reflects current industry best practices and standards, second, is specific to the state of Washington laws and practices, and finally, Lexapol does provide timely updates to the policy manual once created from new legislation and case law. So that's incredibly important as far as keeping us up to date, and that also takes the liability off of our agency from having to be constantly within the case law or seeing what's coming down from the legislature as those WACs and RCWs change. Next up, in addition to the pre-written content, our agency also has to have the ability to customize these policies. So whatever we receive from Lexapol, we have 100% the ability to adapt what Lake Stevens Fire, Monroe, and Snohomish County Fire District 7 has done in the past, and look at those past practices to see what fit us today and what will fit us into the future. As far as the pre-written policies, their policy manual does include over 155 pre-written policies and over 20 common procedures as well. So we're looking at both sides of this. Agency policy, what do we do, and then procedure, how do we do it? Lexapol does offer cross-reference, and that is part of our quote. So what Lexapol does with the cross-reference is they take our past policies and procedures that have been in place and cross-reference those to the pre-written Lexapol policies so that when we begin our review on what we create and what we want to push out for approval and implementation, that we're covering all of our bases. And that also helps to identify any gaps in coverage that we might have where a policy and procedure is needed to be written. Moving on, Lexapol does provide daily training. These are give or take 5-minute bulletins that are sent out with policies and procedures. Needless to say, we can sit back and we can write a beautiful policy procedure manual, but if none of the agency sees that manual or gets into it on a daily basis when they come into work, it's no good. So that's one of the really cool things about Lexapol as far as pushing out daily training to refresh our members on what policies are established. The current customers around us, just so you guys know, we are not the only ones or wouldn't be the only ones. We have Snohomish County EMS, Snohomish Fire District 17, Tulalip Bay Fire, Mill Creek PD, Lake Stevens PD, Arlington PD, and then both Lake Stevens Fire and District 7 were previous customers. And Lexapol provided me a really nice map of all the places in the state of Washington that's currently using Lexapol policies and or procedures. As far as a project cost, the first year for this is $20,394, and that includes the cross-reference, and then the annual subscription is $18,744. The second half of the proposal moves into the platform that we'll be delivering this to the organization. And the proposed platform is Power DMS. Power DMS is a partner with Lexapol and the Center for Public Safety Excellence, along with several other agencies across the United States. It's a cloud-based solution that operates as a central repository for a variety of documents. So the Power DMS program is not just for policies and procedures, but it can also be used for storing contracts and assigning workflows and review cycles to contracts, as well as in addition to accreditation documentation. And you'll start hearing more and more about pushing towards Commission on Fire Accreditation, International Accreditation, and possibly in the future even CAS Accreditation, which is specific to EMS. So these are all documents that we can house within Power DMS. The software itself is integrated with Microsoft Office Suite and Adobe, and it has the ability to require e-sign verification, revision tracking, real-time notifications of revision. We can maintain both draft copies and published versions, and this also allows for side-by-side comparison of documents. Moving forward, we can also apply and assign workflows as set by policy life cycles, and it provides instant mobile access. So that's some more of that transparency, how quickly we get our information. We also have the additional function of accreditation document management. So the different terms that you're going to hear moving forward down this accreditation route is a community risk assessment, or CRA, SOC standard of cover, and the FESM, which is our big document, Fire Emergency Service Self-Assessment Manual. And Power DMS is used by CFAI currently as a partner. Current customers around us that are using the Power DMS platform for distribution is the Snoco Medical Examiner, City of Bothell, Lake Stevens PD, Marysville Fire, Mill Creek PD, City of Snoqualmie, which is CFAI accredited, Spokane Valley Fire, CFAI accredited, and City of Bellevue, CFAI accredited. The cost for Power DMS is relatively inexpensive. It's $8,291 per year. Next up are just some ideas of what our policy cycle is going to look like. So for those of you who don't know me, I do hail from the southeast of the United States, North Carolina in particular, so you hear my accent. It's okay, y'all sound weird to me, so we're on an even playing field. But with that, this particular public policy lifecycle actually comes from the UNC School of Government and Public Policy. And this is a very similar policy lifecycle that I followed when I was working for Town of Mooresville. So when we look at our public policies, we start off with our agenda setting, we move into policy development, policy decision making, policy implementation, and policy evaluation. And within each bubble, there are different functions that are accomplished. So what I've done is I've taken the standardized policy lifecycle that is followed by UNC School of Government, and I put that into what I see would be a typical workflow for policy. And this is where the efficiencies of these programs I've just pitched come into play. So for example, Lexapol KMS has the ability of agenda notification. When does a policy due? Next step will be the development and revision. We can plug in policy champions or authors to review these policies. And at the same time, too, when we do find a hole of where a policy is needed, we can assign a champion or have a champion come forward and put them into this policy lifecycle or workflow. The decision making, once again, these can be pushed out to specified groups. So I do know that there's a commissioner group. We're all working on a commissioner group to be a part of our policy committee, which is forthcoming. So instead of coming in for these meetings, you'll get a notification saying XYZ policy is ready for review at its revision. Next up will be implementation. After all the approvals move through its workflow and we're ready to go out to our organization, our membership, we push that out to the membership and they will give a notification that XYZ policy is ready for review. By clicking into the notification, it's e-signing the notification, showing that they've received the policy, they've read the policy, and they do give us feedback on that. And then finally, we have the evaluation phase. And this is assigned to how long that policy goes between implementation to next review. So long story short, did the policy work? Do we need to change it? What needs to happen for the next revision? And then the last part is just a proposed timeline of events as far as seeing what I think we can do with our program. So right now in June 2020, briefing Board of Commissioners on the procedure plan to receive feedback from you guys and see what you think, if there's anything you want to see different. July, seeking action by the Board of Commissioners, by you guys, to see if you'd like to approve the program for us. In August, we'd complete our contracts with Lexapol Power and EMS. We would also solicit for the Policy Procedure Committee from our membership, and we'd look for members from all facets and all the functional areas of the agency. So when we do put these policies together, we're putting policies together that would be successful long-term. After we establish that, we begin a policy development in October 2020 with a potential fully developed, fully implemented policy program by September 2021. And that is somewhat aggressive, but it is definitely doable. So with that, any questions or comments for the proposal?
Yeah, hi, Chief. This is Jeff Schaub speaking. I don't know if you were aware, I was on the policy committee. I'd be interested in being on it in the future. We started out, Fire District 7 started out after we joined with Monroe to use Lexapol because we had heard great things about it. What we found was, and is Camille present on this meeting?
No, not tonight.
No.
So I was on the committee, Leslie was on the committee. And we found that the program was, I don't know the technical word, but really clunky to use. It wasn't like using Word where you could, so we would take policies sometimes and try to modify them slightly and adapt them. And the process of going through and editing it and trying to save it, it's really clunky and it was really cumbersome. It took a lot of time. So I'm just trying to give some honest feedback here. The other thing about the Lexapol. So we were meeting, I don't remember if it was every couple of weeks or once a month, but by the time we would meet again, they had updated policies. So we'd come with a plan to look at new policies, and then we ended up going back and looking at policies that had been modified to see how we can incorporate that. Did we like the idea of what they had modified? So while I appreciate the fact that Lexapol could keep us current with Washington law and updates in the law, we found it to be, like I said, really clunky to use and difficult to update and very time-consuming, to the point where there were so many changes occurring, it just seemed like we almost were going to have like a half-time staff person to keep up with the updates they were doing. So that's just a little bit of feedback I want to give to you. Chief Messer, have you used the system itself?
Yes, sir. So first off, just one follow-up question for you. When you guys were using Lexapol, was it pre-2018?
Yes.
Cool. So I got good news for you. Everything that you just mentioned was my first interaction with Lexapol when I was hired in Lake Stevens in 2016. Incredibly clunky. They took that feedback from customers like yourself, Lake Stevens, and customers across the U.S. and completely revamped their software platform. So in 2018, myself and Leah specifically, we took a class on their KMS-5 knowledge management system, which was a complete rebuild and update to what you were used to using it pre-18. And the update itself integrated Lexapol in with Microsoft Office, Adobe, and brought those user functionality, or the user functionality of being able to bring a document and update it within the software into a very intuitive word-like or word-based program. So the one thing that I can tell you from going through it in 2018 and then being a part of our Lexapol team after KMS5, the content update was incredibly easy. And then just some of the powers they added too, for example, our name change. Manual systems or other systems, we'd have to go through each policy individually and change the name. With the KMS5 software that Lexapol put out, it's a fillable field. And there's a master set of fillable items that we can change. So under agency name, all I'd have to do is delete out Snowfire 7, put in Snohomish Regional Fire. Same thing with authorizers for policies. So for example, we have different deputy chiefs or different assistant chiefs. We can change titles, anything that's pre-programmed. So to that comment, you're 100% right. Pre-18, Lexapol was clunky. They heard the feedback and they fixed it.
That's really good to hear, because it was almost a nightmare trying to, and so we went away from it. But if they've made it compatible and much more like Microsoft Word or something that we're familiar with, and it's, you know, I'd certainly be open to taking another look at it. The only other comment regarding policy I'd make is when Chief Silva was looking at changing insurance companies for us, He mentioned to me one time that the current insurance company we're with, they have a whole set of model policies that are available to their clients. So that might be just a backup system to compare. Because one of my big concerns has always been the policies we worked on, they may be great, but you know, what are we not seeing? What have we forgotten? You know? So. But I appreciate the comments about the upgrade. I just wanted to give you honest feedback.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate it. I'm right there with you. And just throw the floor to Leah real quick. Leah, do you have any comments about the KMS5? I know you were pretty pinnacle in doing a lot of our legislative policies.
Yeah, no, we like you had said, we found it clunky too when we first started with it, and when they made those adjustments, and they continued to make adjustments and be responsive to those needs. And then on the administrative side of it, we did appreciate that they include within the policies best practices, and they have a team of attorneys who are monitoring cases to help guide that. So I appreciated that as well. Thank you, Mike.
Good, Jeff. This is
great.
Yeah, don't worry, appreciate that.
And I only had one comment to make also.
Sorry.
And I just wanted to reiterate what Jeff said, because I was on the policy committee when we switched and was not very impressed with Lexapol. So I would like to suggest, prior to making any type of decisions, that maybe you're able to show us the policy committee an example of what it is, because I was not comfortable with not like Lexapol, but it was an older system now that I'm hearing. I would just suggest maybe bringing this to the policy committee so we can look at it before any type of decision or moving forward is made.
And Troy, Randy, and Jeff, and Rick. So we're the four guys on the committee for the board. I've been using Lexapol for quite a number of years now with my employer. I completely concur with what Chief Messer and Leah said as far as its usability. It's very easy now. I actually have a login, so I can bring it to our committee meeting and log in and show you what it's capable of, so that can kind of streamline things.
I would greatly appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, Commissioner Elmore, if you don't mind, needless to say, since our contracts have ended, I don't have access in. I can reach out to our salesperson, Jeff Hopper, to see if there's a demo that he can do, and if you'd like to, I can certainly get with Jeff and have an online demo for you, gents. That way you can see how Lexapol does come together with its new KMS platform.
Sounds good to me.
That sounds great. Thanks, Chief.
Yeah, thank no problem. You. Any other questions?
All right. Moving along.
Commissioner.
Thank you, Chief Messer.
I wanted to, can I add on to that? So it's really important, commissioners, I want you to know that while we are navigating some kind of no man's land sometimes in policies and some ambiguities, we are relying on our leadership through the chain of command to help our folks along the way. For example, if a firefighter has a question about a policy or procedure, we are absolutely encouraging them to talk with their supervisor right away. If they're confused about a policy, a procedure, or something we do, get in touch with your supervisor. If lieutenants are confused about what a policy or procedure, we're encouraging them to go to their battalion chiefs and on up the line. And we want to get them the answers as soon as possible, the information. And then in lieu of formal policy, when we see a gap or we see something we need to update, we will issue a directive through memos or through an email that this is what we're doing. So we want to encourage folks, if along the way, if you, you wonder what's the policy or what we're doing exactly, really we want folks to go to their supervisor. So we really want to spread that word.
Chain of command. Moving on to our action items. On page 49, there is a contract for ESO tablets that we have reviewed for the last month. Would you like to make a presentation, or can I just ask for a motion?
Make the motion.
So we can move on with discussion. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion to approve ESO Dell tablet purchase as submitted.
And a second?
I'll second that.
And a second. Now, is there any discussion? I hear no discussion. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposition? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to Surplus Resolution 2020-18 on page 59. There was a typo on a couple of VIN numbers, and rather than having to dump the entire resolution, it was advised it be corrected, and we could submit that new resolution. Do I have a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded. Any discussion? No discussion noted. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Moving on to page 63, the COVID grant application and supplemental contract letter needs approval so that apparently I can sign it. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the COVID-19 FEMA grant application and supplemental contract as submitted.
And a second?
Second.
That was Jim, second that. Any discussion?
Yep.
No discussion heard. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. We're going to hold off on the Finch standard of coverage contract because they found a couple of timeline issues or lack thereof. So we're going to hold that for correction, and we'll bring that back in a couple weeks or a month.
Probably within a couple weeks to a month.
Okay. Thanks for narrowing. A couple weeks to a month. Do I hear 6 weeks? Okay. I'm glad there's still some humor. We're moving on with new business. There is a first quarter finance report highlights and budget in the minutes. Are there any questions on that? The finance committee reviewed that, and all our questions were answered. We are, as we mentioned, still reviewing the post-retirement because of some incurred costs associated with that. The actuary sent us a report, and we will have that for you on the after the second quarter financial report. Any questions? No, noted. Moving on with commissioners' reports. Uh, strategic planning, there hasn't been another meeting, has there?
No.
No. So no shop committee. And once again, once these dates are outlined, we'll have a better line on when there will be a report and not be a report. Snohomish 911 was a lot of discussion about a COLA-based raise for the agency in the form of their new contract. Pretty much not too many other things happening. Steve, anything to...
No.
Any other meetings attended? Anything for the good of the order? Attendance check for July 9th. A little correction in the minutes here.
Aye.
Aye. Everybody, well, they blue jeaned out on us again there.
What town?
I'll be there, Rob.
Okay. Well, there'll be three of us anyway.
The guys coming?
I'm good.
I'm good.
So we're going to move into an executive session on IAFF negotiations per RCW 42.31.44 and Mill Creek Emergency Medical Services Agreement under RCW 42.31.10.1I. Chief, how long?
Says 1B.
It's actually 1I.
It's 1I. I think it was corrected.
Yeah, it was a typo on the agenda.
Okay. Commissioner, you know, let's go with, start out with 15 minutes.
If you don't need anything.
No, I'm going to 30. Okay.
That's optimistic.
Yeah. We'll start at 30.